ding ding ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding.
Yeah, huge shout out to the AVS fam. Colorado hockey's coming in, man. Let me teach you how to dutchy on the ice, the dutchy touch. Hashtag volley volley. The crazy saves this so gnarly. The Condor and Landy. Team Butte is sweeter than candy. Colorado hockey's coming in. Colorado hockey for the win. Tune in to the podcast, we're live. Colorado hockey has arrived. ColoradoHockey.com.
This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast brought to you by AvsFam. That's AvsFam.com for the coolest hockey gear you're going to find anywhere online, including shirts, hoodies, hats, and stickers. Check them out at AvsFam.com. The Avs have had a horrible start to the season. There's no getting around that, but everyone in the organization, from the players to Bernie, to the coaches, to the GM, to the fans, knows that they can play better hockey. So the question is, why aren't they playing better hockey? I think that the first thing that the team needs to look at is the stupid penalty count. We have more stupid penalties than I recall having at this point in the season in any season prior. I haven't seen any other teams taking quite as many stupid penalties like we are. And that's a big deal for us because our offense isn't consistent of late. And so giving up a goal is a huge deal. It can change the whole game, and it has a number of different times. A lot of times these penalties are as stupid as line changes or offensive zone hooking. That's come from our captain a couple of different times. So this is a real issue with the Avalanche right now. And to be consistent, which is what we need to be as a hockey team, we can't be taking the stupid penalties. But this can't be all about stupid penalties. I mean, we've taken penalties and still won games before. So what is going on that's keeping us from scoring goals? I think the answer to this question has a lot more to do with multiple factors instead of just one thing. I think that the chemistry on the team right now isn't everything that it could be, and that's a little bit understandable, but by this point in the season, I think that chemistry should start to develop. We might have seen some of that come together with the My Two Dads line. McKinnon's been looking great out there with Iggy and Tangs, and I think that it's up to both of their games too, having somebody out there to cause a little chaos and shoot from any corner of the ice. I think that this is the line that's getting the offense done right now, and it probably will be for the next four or five games. But when the other teams start to really focus on this line, then we have some other people who can step up, like Matt Duchene, who is playing good hockey. You don't get stoned like he's been stoned the last couple times by Cam Ward and some of these other goalies without having great chances and great shots. They made great saves. That's all there is to it. I know he wants to be on the board as much as we want him to be on the board. He's not playing bad hockey right now. He's just not scoring. I think that another really good question right now is, what has happened since Waugh has been here? He started off really strong. He had a great first year as a coach. We were the darlings of the NHL, and then suddenly it just wasn't getting any better. And it was pretty easy at that point to point fingers at players, personnel, bad choices, people who were drafted before Waugh got here. And that might still be the case a little bit, but Waugh's definitely had a hand in the team that's on the ice right now, and they're not doing very good. In the last podcast, Steven Crociata talked about what needs to change, and this idea that it's just pure insanity to keep doing the same thing over and over assuming it's going to work. We have to try new things. And he might be right, but one of the questions he brought up in particular at the very end was this idea of, do we need to change coaches? Is it that time of the season? Are we at the point where we need to make that kind of a change? And my answer is no, I don't think so. I think that this season has to be a legit chance for Patrick Waugh, Joe Sakic, and this team to do their thing. And if they fail horribly, then we're looking at it next season. But we're not in a division where we can make changes right now and expect that to get us into the playoffs. We're either going to come together as a team and we're going to eke our way in because we're so far in a deficit already in the toughest division there is, or we're not. Just for giggles though, let's say that we were going to trade, or we were going to bring somebody onto this team who could make everything work. They were just going to make it all happen. Everybody's going to gel all of a sudden because there's one person we bring on the team. Who would we have to give up to get that person? That's a tough question because nobody wants to give up anybody. Well, that's only half true. If you get on Twitter, everybody's ready to give up everybody. Everybody's like, start over, throw some TNT on the ice and let's start this thing over. One of the names that's been coming up a little bit, and I think unfairly, is Matt Duchene. Everybody's trying to compare Duchene to O'Reilly. Now, O'Reilly went onto a team where he is definitely a leader and he's doing really good. You can't take that away from the guy, but he's also getting paid $1.5 million more than Duchene is right now. And he's also on a team with a whole bunch of young and hungry guys. So I think that O'Reilly got what he wanted and he's playing pretty good hockey. Kudos to him, but he didn't work out here. He wasn't the guy for this team. The chemistry wasn't there. And if anything, he was the guy stirring the pot, causing all the issues all the time anyways. I don't think he'd be playing that good of hockey if he was here in Colorado. That relationship was just over. But on the flip side of that, I think Duchesne got what he wanted. He's kind of the guy here, right? I mean, Landy's the captain, but Duchesne is the face of the organization. If you need proof of that, just look at PS4 NHL 2015. He's the player that comes up to represent the team on every screen. He is the golden boy of the group. So everyone thought that this would be his blossoming moment. They thought that he would come, he would score a ton of goals, and he would be the guy that we've all thought he could be. He's 24 now, but he has been in the league for something like 8 years. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. We need to win games. I think that Duchesne is doing all the things he needs to do to be that player. He's done the one thing that I really thought he had to do, which was have a second move off of that right-hand side. He comes down the ice, he throws it under the stick, and he takes the shot. Defensemen know this now. What he's started to do is he's taking that backhand in stride. So now there's two things they have to look for. If he added one more, that'd be brilliant. But the fact of the matter is he's doing what he should do to score, and I think that's going to come for him. The rest of the team, not so much. We've got some guys who really need to step up, and we need everyone to play a consistent game, don't take stupid penalties, and do show up every night for 60 minutes. Okay, you know that sound by now. That means we're moving on. It's about to become rapid fire, and I'm going to work my way through the entire roster, giving you a yay or a nay, a scorecard, a green light, something like that for every player, and let you know exactly where I think they're at and what they need to do. But quickly, because we got things to do. Okay, up first is Blake Como. Como arigato, Mr. Roboto. You know what? I had high hopes for this guy, but honestly, I've been let down a little bit. He seems like he's a liability on the ice. He's got a lot of energy, but he doesn't know exactly how to use it for this team. He's taken some stupid penalties, and he hasn't really brought a lot to the offense or the plus-minus on the ice. Nathan MacKinnon has 10 points in 10 games, and I believe 4 of those are goals, 6 of those are assists, and he's got nothing but energy, want, will, and he's tough right now. He's a mean dog. I've been saying this for a while. He's a tough puppy that turned into a mean dog, and I like that about him. I think that MacKinnon just needs to keep being MacKinnon. Next up, the captain, Gabriel Landeskog, who I believe has also played 10 games. He definitely has 5 goals and 3 assists, and he's been pretty good. I think that he needs to take some of that want and desire for this team to do well and apply it to just hard physical play, but at the same time, he's got to not take those penalties, not the stupid penalties in particular, like hooking in the offensive zone. Hooking is a bad idea in all professions. Iggy Pops. So Jerome McGinley has actually played the exact kind of game that I would want him to play. Sure, I'd like to see the puck in the net more often, but he's been consistent and he's been emotionally consistent, which I think is important on a team like this right now. I think Iggy should just keep being Iggy and keep his son in line. Nathan MacKinnon. It's a funny joke. Think about it. If I was handing out an award for the most bipolar player so far, it would be Alex Tanguay, because he's been the two versions of him that are both painful and absolutely electric. And electric is making a comeback right now, which makes me forget all about the painful stuff. I think that Alex Tanguay is like the captain. He wants the team to do really good. And when he messes up and when he takes it too far, he puts too much on his own shoulders. So what I want to see is Tanguay just be Tanguay. Just let it come to you. Use your vision on the ice and make those little plays, because you're going to get on a streak and then you're going to be awesome and we're all going to be happy. But what about Francois Beauchemin? He's another person that we brought onto the team to fill some pretty big holes. And you know what? I think he's actually done a pretty good job. He's been solid, he's been consistent, he's been big, and he's been pretty mean. He hasn't been crazy fast, but we didn't expect that from him. I think that he's doing everything that we wanted him to do. We just thought maybe it would bring a little bit more of a better game to the other players on the ice, the other guys around him. And that might come, we'll see. But for right now, green light, B+. You know, coming to a new team is always an adjustment, and I think that it's been a really hard adjustment for Carl Soderberg. He has some pretty big shoes to fill. Even though everybody said he wasn't coming in to replace O'Reilly, he kind of was. I mean, everybody expected him to fill in some of the gaps at least, and so far, again, he hasn't been amazing. If anything, he's been overly energetic in a way that causes trouble on the ice, and it doesn't really do a good thing for the team yet. Now, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to get his stuff together, but I think it's been a culture shock, and I think that he kind of let himself say some things in an interview that maybe he shouldn't have, but at the same time, maybe that's what we need. Somebody like him, who is like Jiggy, who will say the truth, and at least let the fans know that the team knows what's up. So for that, kudos. For the rest of it, I really hope it gets his game together soon. Now, you savvy hockey folks out there are going to know that I am working my way down by points scored so far. Nathan MacKinnon had 10, Landeskog has 8, Iggy had 7, Tanguay has 6, Beauchemin has 6, and then Soderberg has 5. So if I'm being critical of somebody like Soderberg right now with 5 points, well, it has to do with this other number that is -5, and that's his plus minus. So we're working our way down the list right now, and that's the best of the list so far. So let's see what else we got going on. John Mitchell. You know, I really like John Mitchell. I like his work ethic, and I like that he has the grit style, but he has some skill at the same time. He can snipe a corner, he can get a rebound, and he can put the shoulder into somebody. He plays a role on this team that I think is sorely underrated, and I really like his game so far. Now, he could be doing a little better in some areas. Sure, he's a negative one right now on the plus minus, but he's also playing with some guys who aren't playing very good hockey, and I think that the best reflection of John Mitchell is the line mates that he plays with. So for what he's doing right now and who he's with, I'm going to give him a pass on this. He's getting to see yellow light. Nick Holden is often a guy who gets a lot of negative attention on Twitter, and that's because he is a little bit hit and miss himself. Sometimes he's the old Nick Holden, which is mean, knocking guys down to the ice, pinching him up against the boards and making some really good blocks. And at other times he's a defensive liability or the closest guy to the goalie when the puck goes in and everybody calls him out because they saw him last before the goal was scored. Either way, Nick Holden's a young defenseman who could be a lot better, and he's going to get a lot better. Right now, I think he's holding his own well enough to be in the lineup over some people like Brad Stewart. So I started this entire thing with Blake Comeau. We won't go back there, but just as a side note, he isn't actually at the top of the list in points. I switched up the game when I got past him. So moving on from him, let's go to Jack Skilly, because that Skilly Wabbit has been pretty damn awesome. I really like his game. He's got nothing but energy, and he has the exact kind of hunger you would expect from a guy who got a professional tryout and made it onto the team. He's playing, I want to stay on this team hockey. He's playing, I want to be an NHL hockey player and buy a house in this town because I'm that good. And I think he should buy that house, because for me, he's in the lineup until he gives me a damn good reason he shouldn't be. Consistent every night, some skill, a lot of grit, a lot of effort, a lot of heart. So now we find ourselves about halfway through the defensemen and forwards, and that means we're about halfway through games played, goal scored, assists, and plus minus. So those are the basic numbers I'm looking at. I'm no Corsi expert, and I can't tell you about possession. I just know that when we have control of a game, we're in a good spot. And having control of a game often has to do with Eric Johnson having a really good game. So he's 10 games in, 2 goals, 1 assist, -1 on the plus minus. He's not playing his best hockey right now, and I'm not sure what that's all about. But if I remember right, he has moments. He has great moments, and he has moments like this that are kind of blah. They're not bad, they're not good, they're just meh. Anyways, I think that Eric Johnson needs to step his game up, and I bet he would agree with that too. Moving right along, everybody's favorite person to hate right now, Matt Duchene. I think he's playing really good hockey. I think he's getting some really bad luck. His games are becoming more consistent. He had one or two games that were not amazing, but for the most part, he's been playing what I would expect to see from Matt Duchene, and I want him to keep doing that, and I want to see the goals go in. So if he needs to go rub a chicken's belly for luck or something like that, get it done, man. Take one for the team. Just keep doing you and keep keeping it real. Next up, Tyson Barrie, not playing good hockey yet. He has had a weird start to the season, hasn't been the offensive threat that we all thought he would be, hasn't been super solid on D, and he turned into a bit of a thug getting a 3-game suspension. I think he hasn't started yet. I think he's just surviving where he's going to thrive, and I'm ready for him to start thriving. That's really all I have to say about him right now. Get it going, man. Grigorenko. Okay, so he hasn't really had a great chance to shine yet. He's been a lot of fourth line and occasional third line. I think he's a better player than we've seen. I think he just really hasn't had a chance to show that off yet. I'm not sure what the deal is keeping him down low or if he was even supposed to be better than a third liner, but I think he could be. I think he's a big body and he needs to get in the system. And if he can do that, I think he's going to have some success. Big C, Nikita Zadorov. I don't even know how to say his name yet. He's so new. Anyways, this guy has a huge upside, and that is he can destroy people with a hip check, a shoulder check. He just looks at people mean sometimes and they fall over. I love that part of his game. I'm not seeing enough of it consistently though. It seems to me when Landy's being physical, when Big Z's being physical, that's when we're being our best team. I want to see more physical from this guy, even if it means that his defensive partner has to cover for him a little bit. Send this guy out there with the mission of taking nice, big, clean hits and knocking people to the ice, like Corey Perry, because that's awesome. Another guy who is always getting the hate is Cody McLeod, yet Cody McLeod has been one of the more consistent players we've had. Remember, he's a fourth liner who's often playing better than our second and third line players, sometimes even our first line players. So when he gets thrown out there because he's working hard, I don't disagree with it at all. I think Waugh is rewarding the people who play hard, play smart, and go out there every night with it. And that has been Cody McLeod. Now, he's not the best player on the team. He is getting older. I get it. All those things. But on a team struggling like we are right now and learning how to play hockey as a team, what earns you ice time? I'm fine with it. He should be out there. He should be doing what he's doing. I hope he keeps doing it. He could stand to maybe not fight the bigger guys, though. Try to stay in his own weight class would be cool. Brad Stewart. The very little that we've seen of Brad Stewart this season has not been promising, and I think that he is being scratched for good reason, and that's really all I have to say about that. Nate Gannon, another guy on the top three hated list. You know what? Nate Gannon has good games and he has bad games just like the rest of them. What I do like about Nate Gannon is when he is playing good hockey, he plays the forearm shiver that I think he learned from Adam Foote of all people. But I like that about him. I like it when he gets in people's business and he pisses them off a little bit with that. What I don't like so much is when he's out there directing traffic, because I'm not sure that he is a very good director of traffic. I wish that he would just play his position and let the other guy play their position. Sure, communicate, but quit pointing everywhere. Go make the play. Put on a big hit. Do something positive. Brandon Gormley is a player that everyone wants to see do well. He is sort of the new Hishon, the defenseman of Hishons. He doesn't have that great backstory, but he does have that desire, that skill, and he does have a good story in that he was very highly touted coming into the league, and he hasn't quite developed yet. Another guy who did that was EJ. He didn't come into his own for quite a while, so I'm hoping that Gormley sticks around long enough to learn the game and start to have a place on this team. He could very well be the guy who starts to have other names like Ginnin scratched. I want him to be a good hockey player. I think he needs the ice time for it. So if he's not going to get it here, he should probably go down and play a little bit in San Antonio. The last three forwards are all right wings, and they're all fighting for a spot on this roster in a permanent way. Dennis Everbig currently holds that spot, and he's been playing pretty good hockey. He does lack the wow factor a little bit, but he does bring the consistent game. He is a guy that you can count on to be defensively responsible, and every now and then he will put that puck in the net. I'd like to see him do it more, but right now, if he can just be consistent and be trusted on the ice, I'll take that. And the last two forwards are Borna Rendulic and Mikko Rantanen. And honestly, I don't have enough information on these guys to say anything intelligent, so I just won't say anything at all. I'm not quite cool enough when it comes to this sort of thing to make stuff up, and I'd rather not. I'd rather just watch these guys develop a little bit more and see what happens. Okay, take a breath, get a cup of coffee, I'll wait. And we're back. So now we're moving on to goaltenders, and there's only two to talk about, right? Because we haven't really seen picks yet. That's because Rito Baera is actually playing a really good game. He's being solid. Now he's not being shut people out. Well, he did once, but then he had a 3-goal game. Either way, he's playing good enough hockey for us to get wins, and that's what we need from a backup goalie. So this is a win for him, and I think it's a win for the team too. But it's not everything that we need in net. What we really need in net is for our number one player to be our number one player. Now, notice that I didn't say our number one goaltender, because to me, Varley is absolutely our number one player. We need him to be a good team. We're not good enough on offense or defense to not have a killer goalie behind us saving our asses. He needs to be there. He needs to be the number one guy on the team. And if he's not doing that, then I think we're in a bad place. So here's hoping Varley gets it together. He's been good, not great. He hasn't been overly consistent either, but he's been solid for a couple of years previous to this. And I think that he deserves a little lag time too. But that's done now, and he needs to bring his game back. We need to see him stand on his head, do cartwheels, whatever it takes to keep that puck out of the net and keep everyone chanting, Varley, Varley. And there it is, the report card, the green light, the yes, no, the go, no, go for 24 of the Avalanche players who are represented on the stats page at their homepage. You could do this too. You could look at them and have opinions. These are the things that we can do as fans, because that's what fans do. We care a lot about the game, we have strong opinions, and we share them with others. So by all means, share yours with me if you disagree with the things that I'm saying. I'm just a guy who likes hockey. We're just talking hockey. So be that guy. Call me. Let me know. And before we're all the way done, though, we couldn't go on without talking coaches. Certain segments of the Avalanche fan base have gone from, and while we trust to, I want to cut his head off, which is brutal, but that's how fan bases are. Anyways, here's my feeling on Wah. Sure, things aren't going good right now, and maybe that's partly his fault too, but he is a part of this team the same way that the players are, and I think that he is learning his game a little bit too. Now he's got some help in Tim Army and a couple of other coaches. I don't think this is all on him, and I think that regardless, he gets the entire season to either fail or pull it together, but he gets that entire season, and we'll see what happens from there. But wait a minute, what about Joe Sakic? What about 19 himself? Is he being a good GM? Hell if I know. I don't even know what a good GM is right now. I know that Pierre Lacroix was a pretty good GM, but after that, I'm not real sure what his role is or what his impact is right now past who we have on the team and who we're giving money to. And Wah seems to have a lot to do with that. So currently, my opinion of Joe Sakic is, I don't know. So when a team is playing very good like they have in the past, then people get really involved and they consider themselves a part of the team. They talk about we and the things that we should all do. Well, guess what? You're going to be included in this too. Here's my report card on the fans so far. I think you're doing awesome. I know it's a sucky time to be a fan when your team isn't winning and when we're not dominating and when people aren't doing the things that we thought they could do. You have every right to bitch about it and you can have strong opinions all you want. Just be cool to each other and stay awesome. That's all I'm asking. Okay, we're all done with that sound. I'm all done talking and you're all awesome for sticking in here for so long. Thank you for putting up with me. And remember that this show is brought to you by AvSpam, AVSFAM, the coolest hockey shirts you're ever going to see. But it's not just hockey shirts anymore. There's hoodies, there's hats, there's stickers, a lot of coolness, all for you. Go check it out, AVSFAM.com. Stay awesome.